Welcome, welcome to Semper Reformanda. John just said something to me that's frightening. He said, just bring it in and let's see where this goes. I said, do you have anything in particular that you want to talk about? He said, just trust me. So I am doing the whatever, you know, the
you know, Justin, plunge. Outside of your wife and outside of your elders and maybe a few good friends, is there anybody that you trust more than me?
John, that was a lot of qualifications.
I wasn't going to say you could trust me more than your wife or your elders. You know, I'm not going to do that.
No, I trust you, brother. You are definitely dear to me, and I trust you. Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm being facetious. I'm just trying to banter, John. This is SR.
Dude, I love it.
Say something to me. Knock people out of their seats. Say a word. I hope everybody's seated. Yeah. Take a seat, because who knows? You know,
I really loved where we were going at the end, and I think I just kind of want to continue down that road of speaking to the disgruntled heart who just looks at their life and they're like, man, there's no way God's happy with me. There's no way I'm in God's will. I'm in total discipline mode. Like, in other words, they just feel like God's disciplined their life for the rest of their life because one decision that they made is now it's now over, you know?
Yeah.
And you have to realize, like, even going back to the discipline of the Lord, is designed to bring restoration to resting, right? I mean, what does Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and the ultimate end of it is rest, right? So we have to remember that God's design for us while we live in a storm, while we are in our flesh waiting for the final resurrection, is not living in constant fear and dread. It's not living in constant wonder. We are to live satisfied. I mean, I can't help but going back to John 15 when Jesus says, you can have my joy and your joy can be complete. So all of the words of Jesus, he's talking to people who are sinners, who are feeling the weight of their sin, they're overwhelmed by it. And Jesus' response is rest and joy, right? Rest and joy. So if you aren't in rest and you aren't in joy, then my encouragement would be that you probably, according to 2 Peter, you may have forgotten the gospel. And maybe what we should do in this podcast is to remind you how to find your way back.
Brief thought. As you said this was sparked, and then we can absolutely maybe pivot to what you were saying. I do think a lot of times people put themselves in a prison by thinking in these ways, that through this one decision I made, this one sin I committed, I've ruined my life. Mm-hmm. And what I would say are several things. There are boatloads of sins that we commit that have real consequences that are not the unpardonable sin, mm-hmm. right? And so there's forgiveness, in other words, for these sins in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's huge. And this is a thought that I'm going to go ahead and throw out. I've thought this. I've said this to others. I don't think I've ever said this on this podcast. I don't think. The fact that there are consequences for sin in this life is from God, not Satan. I think a lot of times we struggle to process what I'm saying. This is what I mean. There are consequences for decisions that we make that do make our lives more difficult sometimes, that have repercussions for us, maybe for the rest of our days. That's all true. And the way I would encourage us to look at that is, okay, there is a reminder of a sin that I've committed that has real consequences in my life, even up to today. But let that drive me all the more to Christ, who has atoned for my sin. And maybe what the Lord is teaching me, because I think this is legit, through all of this, is that I'm in need of mercy, I'm in need of forgiveness, that Christ is my righteousness, and that this life is not the point of it all, and that there's going to come a day when I'm going to be delivered from all of this, including the consequences of my sin in this life. And thanks be to God for that deliverance. And he's teaching us those things. And so I would encourage us all to not think in terms of, I have ruined my life and the purposes of God for me through this mistake that I made years ago. There's mercy and forgiveness for it, and God has good purposes in it. And like you said, even the disciplinary action of God, we should view as his loving kindness, because that's what he tells us it is. And we bear up under it because discipline is never pleasant. We bear up under it because God is actually giving us his holiness. He's doing this so that we might share in his holiness, and he is causing us to hope in the resurrection. He's bringing to mind the hope that he has called us to. And those are all good things. So those are just a few thoughts. But where do you want to go with this? Do you want to talk about the gospel a little bit, which is great?
Yeah, I think, Justin, there are times where, I mean, I know in my own heart where I know everything we're saying is true. I know it. I know more than most people do. And yet it doesn't sink in, right? And I think the reason why Theocast has been so powerful for people is that it's the voice outside of them, right? Reflecting back to them. This is where I might get a little punchy. This is, I've been saying it for years. The Christian life is not designed to be lived alone. This is why Jesus rescues us and then puts us into a family that says, hey, talk to each other about what happened, because you oft forget, right? Our hearts often wander. There's this tendency where we think we can find strength by dedication. We think we can find strength by mere discipline, but yet that is not what is offered. You know, I love to ask people this question. What is the guaranteed that your heart won't wander by every wind of doctrine and that you will be built up in love? What's the guarantee in scripture? And people love to emphasize personal Bible reading and prayer, but I'm not saying that you can't be encouraged by those things. And I think many are often encouraged by that, but the guarantee comes from when other people take God's word and administrate it to us. This is why the ordinary means of grace are so powerful for us, because literally it is said, you know, how do we come by faith and how do we grow in our faith is by hearing the word of God, hearing the word of God spoken to us outside of us, right? Mm-hmm. Our entire relationship is outside of ourselves, whether, amen. I mean, the whole thing is like our salvation, sanctification, and our fellowship and encouragement is God's will is to be outside of ourselves. So my encouragement to you is that if you often find yourself just trapped in your own head, you are on this hamster wheel of constant lack of assurance or no encouragement, no rest, no, you're not being satisfied in Christ, you might want to step back and say, have I found myself enclosed within my own mind? Have I secluded? Have I cut myself off from the refreshing relationships that God has provided for me? And, you know, I'll just say this now, Justin, there are people who will contact us and say, we can't seem to find a good church in our area. Listen, if you get hungry enough and you get desperate enough, you will go and find it. And that's always my encouragement, is go find where there's hope. Mm-hmm. Otherwise you're going to suffer, and it's needless for you to suffer in that way.
Yeah. Here's another thought. When people are struggling with this whole idea of, you know, I've sinned in these ways and I've ruined my life, a lot of times this is a version of what Satan does to us all the time. When we listen to the testimony of Satan rather than the testimony of Christ, we're in trouble. You know, I mean, just in a general way. And so whenever you hear in your conscience or whenever you're thinking in your mind that your sin is too great to be pardoned, or that you have done this thing that irrevocably has ruined your life, that is not the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the testimony of the adversary. And what we're doing so often in those moments is we are considering ourselves, like our gaze is on us. It's not on Christ. So we talk about this all the time, the looking outside of us, the extra nos piece, right? The fact that we're looking outside of ourselves to Christ all the time, and we're concerned about his testimony, not our own thoughts. We're concerned about his testimony, not the testimony of the enemy. And I think that maybe we don't think of it in these terms, but to think that my sins are too great to be forgiven, or that my sins have irrevocably ruined my life, those are thoughts about you, and you will never find assurance or peace in any way if you're thinking about you.
That's right.
Just can't be done, right?
That's right.
So what's the answer? You know, it really is to consider, what is God's word to this? And in a pointed way, what is the testimony of your Savior to this? Where he does say that there is forgiveness for this, that there is more mercy in him than there is sin in you, that yeah, you may lack faith. You might not repent as much as you should, but he will sustain you. He does not break bruised reeds. He does not put out smoking wicks, and he will sustain and nourish you till he's brought judgment to victory.
That's right.
That's the testimony we need to concern ourselves with when we're just down in the bottom of it and nothing seems good and we're convicted and we're lamenting and we're grieving and we think and are convinced that we have ruined our lives and that we're disappointed in us and that God must be too. It's the only place to go and the only place to look. Amen. But don't be a pietist. I mean, so I'm going to say this. Don't be a pietist looking at you. Don't look within in those moments. Don't look at your life. Don't look at your repentance. Don't look at your faith. Don't look at your devotion. Don't look at your own personal intensity. Don't look at your discipline. Look to Christ only.
Yeah, to quote Psalm, quote David writing a song, Psalm 32, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven."
So good.
"Whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, mm-hmm. and in whose spirit there is no deceit. Mm-hmm. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged mm-hmm. my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquities. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you mm-hmm. forgave my iniquities of my sin, the iniquity of my sin. Therefore, mm-hmm. let everyone who is godly, by the way, godly through union in Christ, let mm-hmm. let everyone who is godly offer prayer to you at a time when you may be found. Surely in the rush of great waters, they shall not reach him. For mm-hmm. you are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way of you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Be not like a horse or a mule without understanding, which must be curbed with a bit and a bridle, or it will not stay near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds the one who trusts in the Lord. And we'll end with right there. And I just want to encourage all of us is that we are the ones whose iniquities have been forgiven.
Yeah.
And we can trust in the steadfastness of the Lord, for he is trustworthy in that way. Mm-hmm. And that's my encouragement to all of us is that in the midst of confusion, in the midst where our hearts and our minds often go, our bodies will go against us. It is God who is trustworthy, and we mm-hmm. must run back to him and knowing that if God, according to his will, thought it would be best to sacrifice his son for you and what his design is, that there's nothing that you can do that would ever separate his love, and he proved it by sacrificing his son, you can rest in your weakness, you can rest in your frailty, and you can rest in your lack of assurance, knowing that it's not your ability to comprehend the love of God, but it's God's ability to love you is where you rest.
No, amen. And I think when it comes to battling against sin, past or present or future sins, those words from Psalm 32 are beautiful, that you're blessed if the Lord doesn't count your iniquity against you, not that you don't have any. You know, you're blessed if you've been forgiven, not that you haven't sinned. And the only thing that's going to bring ruin and destruction and cause you to literally shrivel up and die from the inside is to hide your sin.
That's right.
You confess it, and he's faithful and just to forgive us. And we're thankful for this. And this is how we live corporately together as churches. This is why we confess our sins together every Sunday when we gather. This is how we live together, confessing our sins to one another. And we encourage one another in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the love of God the Father for us, as you just said. Because his love is steadfast and it never stops, and he is always faithful every moment. So
that's right. Well, I will say this before we close it down, as a means of considering how to build one another up and to love and good works, I just want to encourage you. Thank you for doing this in the app. I know that at times we can use this as a supplement to our encouragement and just to strengthen us. I mean, ultimately, we need to find our hope and sustenance in our churches, but that doesn't mean we can't encourage one another, and you're doing so. We're adding some new SR groups as well, so encouraging to see that. I want to thank Daniel Murray for his hard work there. So anyways, that was it. That's all I had.
Great. We're grateful for each of you, and thank you for partnering us the way that you have. Thank you. I agree with John for being so kind and helpful to each other, even on the SR platform. We hope that continues to happen all the more, and hope you've been encouraged by the conversations today. We're about to record another episode, and obviously this will be weeks in the past by the time you hear this, but pray for us as you think about it, just that the Lord would continue to sustain us in what we're doing.
And because you're SR, we're going to do it on baptism. Ooh, stay tuned for that.
Woo. Yeah, that's true. So you'll know this a week ahead of when that's going to happen.
That's right. Don't, but just to clarify, we're not doing the debate on cradle versus spittle. No. So, you know,
we're not.
Calm down.
We're going to encourage people with that.
That's right.
And we're saying bye now.
That's it. We're done.
Yeah. Bye. We're good. We're landing this show and this plane effectively. That's why you love us. See you later.
Bye.